Eric, do you wish to address the council tonight under public comment?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eric Sinclair. I'm just gonna Lindsay, California. That's where I'm from. And I wanted to. I'm always on the internet, and just looking around, and posting things on Instagram. I got to thinking and got to remember about when I was a part of the putting together movies, and I got to be a part of I was always updating things when I was younger, and always paying for updates and paying for things to be updated. And one of the things that I got to update was I can't think of it right now. It's the DOS color green. I got to change it to orange, and that was with Bill Gates. Change the color. I don't know if anybody pays attention to that kind of thing, but and I also updated MGM with MGM.com, and I was just being a part of big and great things, and still being a part of big and great things, and I'm going to be a part of big and great things in the future, and I don't see myself doing otherwise. Any questions? You see me on the streets, you see me, wave hello. Again, my name is Eric Sinclair, Lindsay, California. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other members of the public here, we will close public comment and move to council reports. Councilman Flores, anything to report on tonight?
No, nothing to report.
Thank you. Councilwoman Sanchez?
No, nothing.
Councilman Cortez?
Just a couple of things. Last Saturday, I attended the Hospital Guild Breakfast at the Lindsay Memorial Building. It's an annual event that is put together where they fundraise to give out scholarships to local college students that are interested in the medical field. So it's always nice to see people from the community that we don't typically see. It's a lot of longtime residents that attend the community event, so it was very nice. Let's see what else. Our next Wellness Programming Committee meeting will be next Monday, December 16th at the Wellness Center. This Friday, December 13th, is the last day of school. Learners will be dismissed for winter break. I'll be dismissed for winter break. 3 weeks. School will resume January 7th, 2020. And just want to remind everybody, the Foothills Rotary Club is having their annual Christmas breakfast on Saturday, starting at 8 o'clock at the First Baptist Church. Every year this event gets bigger and better, so I hope to see a lot of people there. I won't be there. I have to work that day, but my family will be there. So, that's all for me.
Okay, thank you. I had a very long TCAG meeting yesterday, but just to hit the highlights, we voted to move forward with a JPA for coordinated transit So sometime in the next few months, we'll receive some information and our city can decide whether we want to join the JPA or not. The idea is to coordinate the transit buses and stuff so that there's one price no matter which bus you're riding from whatever city and county, and hours are, you know, similar and things like that. We also approved creating bonding documents for Measure O. So the idea is to enable the county to move forward with projects sooner rather than later, because you can, the interest rate now for bonding is less than 3%, and the increase in cost for construction is expected to be over 3% in the coming years. So you can save a lot of money by building right now rather than waiting until later. And then there was really good news about the 99 funding, which was withdrawn, so it's been reestablished. So for the widening of 99 and in Tulare County, and also for Highway 46 heading over to the coast. So that money is back for the design phase anyway. And a lot of credit goes to Ted Smalley, our TCAG director, because he really led the effort. It was a valley-wide effort, but he really led it and deserves a lot of credit for that. And one thing I wanted to point out, he, while everybody else was jumping on the new Secretary of Transportation, who's the one that pulled the funding, Ted Smalley was trying to establish a relationship, and which he did, and actually, and the Secretary of Transportation will be attending the TCAG recognition luncheon in January. So Ted's plea was to all the cities, you need to get a table or have a lot of people there. We need really good representation there. And I'm happy to see that we're working on a nomination, because we want every city to get an award. All we have to do, really, is submit a nomination. Or
the draft is on.
And a draft is here. So I'm glad that you're working on that, because he wants every city recognized and every city to be present at this. It's a great opportunity to meet the Secretary of Transportation and let him know that how we do things in Tulare County, that he can trust us. So that was good. And then I have some save-the-date cards that I want to pass around to everybody in the room. The museum will be celebrating the 10th anniversary, as well as the 110th anniversary of Lindsay becoming a city. And so we've established the date of Saturday, February 29th, our bonus day this year. And the event will be at the Wellness Center. It's going to be, we're going to make it a very special event. So hopefully everybody can plan on attending, and we'll have more information on that to come. And with that, we'll turn the time over to our staff.
Okay. So, Mayor, I may have heard wrong. Were you saying Measure O or Measure R?
Measure R.
Okay.
For the bond.
I thought you said Measure O.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sorry.
It's Measure R, not Measure O. So,
yeah.
So tonight we'll go through City Manager Report, and then I've let Ahmed Madawi know that he'll be around 6:15, I think, when he's going to start, so he may walk in just in time to do his presentation. So let's go ahead and get started then. We'll go through public safety first. A couple things going on. It's the employee luncheon. I think it's December 13th. That's noon to 1. You have invitations there on the dais for you. And then Santa night is that night as well. And then the chief has been talking with the sheriff about doing a potential drone program. They're going to explore that and look at maybe doing that in spring of 2020. And so that's going to allow them to get to an incident quickly to assess the area before officers get there and are placed in harm's way. So we're excited about that being a potential. And then the downtown businesses met with the safety officers this last week, talked about everything's going on downtown. They're going to start meeting quarterly, which is going to be a help to them, just to know they're being cared for and watched out for. Next, we have city services, and I sent a more complete draft to council earlier today by email. And this one, really wanted to highlight the water conservation. So those numbers are based on our 2013 levels, and that's the benchmark. So now in 2019, our overall annual reduction has been over 15% reduction in water use. The annual surface water increase of 32%, so it's less demand from the ground. As you can see, the groundwater has decreased by over 55%. The water plant, about 1,000 gallons per minute right now. They've had to shut it off some this last week because the tank gets too full, increases the pressure in the lines, it causes the problem. So they're balancing that, but things are going well right now. So in Projects Dollar General, you've probably seen the construction starting out there. It looks like a completely different lot than it did 2 days ago.
Yeah,
so they did a lot of work.
The wall is down.
Right. So that's about a 120-day build, weather permitting. So that should be there in the Valley Pier. They would have been doing some construction inside their building. We're looking at a 60-day build for that. And it was over there earlier today. They're going to have the glass doors out front. The facade's going to be different. And so it's going to be a really nice building. They're all done with that. So the rehab overlay Cape Sill projects we've been working on. The next phase for that then is to hit the next slide that has a map on it. And so we've been talking about this next phase for a while. These nine different areas, they'll come and grind all at once and then pave all at once. But you're looking for the right temperature and mobilization and all of that. So with school finishing up on the 13th, who knows, this might happen when they're out of session, which would be great to have that go on. And then we get into the wellness. A lot going on over there. We want to welcome Aurora Olmos. She is now the new front desk receptionist staff over there. I started this week. And then they have their next committee meeting, as you mentioned, is coming up on the 16th at 5:30. And then a lot going on with the grants, the two-year grants, potentially a third year added on. So for the 6th to 8th grade learners, they'll have martial arts, circuit training, Zumba, pound, and swim lessons 5 days a week. Starting January 2020, and then 3rd to 5th graders have the martial arts, Zumba, and swim as well. So excited to see what's going on up there. And you know, I mentioned before how much the swimming lessons. We do have our new finance and accounting manager. She started on Monday of last week. So Juana Espinoza, she is a Lindsay native, and we stole her from Bank of America in Porterville. So she's a Berkeley grad, and we're excited to have her here with us. So, she's learning quickly. Tonight we'll have the audit presentation. That's up next. And then shutoffs will be on the 18th. And the last day of pay will be on the 26th. The community leaders meeting, the roundtable I hold, is going to be 7:30 next Friday. Not this Friday, next Friday morning. And then we're closed Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And so office will be closed Tuesday, Wednesday. My suspicion was I have kind of a skeleton crew here for those 2 weeks. And just everybody's seen that as an opportunity to get a little longer vacation with the time off. And then the ClearGov is one of the two companies we've engaged recently to improve the transparency and engagement. I'm going to hit that next slide. This is just a screenshot of this slide. I'm going through this site right now. There's opportunity for us to make comments and double check the data. But they have a whole series of tabs. I don't see very well at the top there, but there's overview, there's revenues, expenditures, demographics, debt, and then the checkbook. So we're going to have our warrant list. It'll be online. And so people will link to this from our website, and we'll have access to all of these different demographics that we can then tie into other communities of similar size for the comparisons. And so we're in the process right now of reviewing the data to have it up, and then we'll have that launched when we're confident all of that is ready. Any questions for me?
So this isn't up yet. This is something you'll have to review.
I'm going to send the link to all of you.
Okay. On the drone thing, who's going to pay for that?
So that's going to come up in the public safety budget. So it's $2,000 for the drone, and then you have an officer trained to manage it.
Okay. I could just throw out a couple more events that I remembered that I forgot about. So the theater is doing the Nutcracker starting Thursday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's a lot of youth, children in there that'll be dancing, and it'll be awesome to see that. Supervisor Crocker is having a meet and greet ever at the museum tomorrow night at 7.
cares to meet with them there. So something every day, every night, rest of this week. With that, we'll consider our consent calendar. We have four items on consent, which can be approved with one motion unless someone requests that it be pulled. So we have the minutes from November 26th, warrant list for November 21st through December 5th, treasurer's report for November, and approval of purchase agreement for Yoco Valley Packing Facility. So what action would the council like to take?
I'm all for approval of the pardon.
Motion by Cortez.
Second.
Second by Sanchez. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Item 4 is present.
I thought you said 5.
I think I did.
See, now I'm hearing.
I'll try to enunciate better. Item 4 is our presentation of our draft basic financial audit report for this last year, and it'll be introduced.
So I'm going to give a quick introduction. I'll have Ahmed come up as soon as I'm done. Just be really brief here. So as you see in the staff report for this, Section 3.01.100 of the City of Lindsay's Municipal Code states in part, the City Council shall provide for an annual independent audit of all city accounts and may provide for more frequent audits as they deem necessary. Such audits shall be made by a certified public accountant or firm of such accountants who have no personal interest, direct or indirect, in the fiscal affairs of the city government or any of its officers. The person or firm selected by the City Council shall be experienced in the audit of California city governments. The City Council may, without requiring competitive bids, designate such accountants or firm to conduct an audit for a period not exceeding 3 years, but the designation for any particular fiscal year shall be made no later than 30 days prior to the close of the fiscal year to be audited. So Downing Associates has been an excellent job for us. They meet all of these requirements or criteria for it. And Ahmed is here tonight to do the presentation. In your packet, it was marked as a comprehensive financial audit report. It is a basic financial statement. And so that title should have been changed. So, I've got copies of the handout as well.
And congratulations to you, because in almost 20 years on the council, we've never had an audit done by December 31st.
That needs to go to my staff. It's a congratulations. They're the ones that...
Hi, congratulations to them.
I will share that with them.
Would I have a clicker?
Yeah, I know that.
All right. Good evening. I am Ahmed Badawi. I'm the audit partner on the City of Lindsay. And yes, this is unusually early for us, but that's the way it's supposed to be. So hopefully we'll continue like that. We are pretty much done with the audit. Like Brett mentioned, it's in a draft form, which means that you still have an opportunity if you see any issues or errors or anything that requires correction, that we still have the opportunity to do that. However, if you don't see anything on our part, we are pretty much done and we'll be ready to finalize after that meeting. So I am going to walk you through the audit process and too fast here. So what I'm going to cover today is who was the engagement team, what were our deliverables in the scope of our audit, areas we emphasized on during our audit process, the type of audit opinion we issued, and summarize for you some of the numbers in your financial statements. Provide you some of the required communications, talk about the findings that we have, and then see if you have any questions for me. So in terms of the engagement team, this was the composition of our engagement team. I was the engagement partner, so I am the person ultimately responsible for overseeing everybody and making sure that the audit is done in accordance with professional standards. We always have a quality control reviewer. This individual is in the background. They're not really involved with the city audit in any way. They just review the end product at the end and just a second set of eyes and making sure that we meet all requirements. We had a manager, a senior, two professional staff. We always have access to an IT specialist just in case the city either develop applications in-house or significantly modify applications, or that your IT infrastructure is too complex for us to be able to evaluate, then this is when we use IT specialists. We didn't feel that there was a need for using our IT specialist. In terms of our deliverables, we were mainly engaged to report on the city's basic financial statements. So Brett corrected the title. I know it's just technical things, but a CAFR, or a comprehensive annual financial report, is a report that will have some additional pieces, like a statistical section that will provide 10-year history information about the city. It will also have some information about the governing body and a map of the city and a few other things. So not required by accounting standards in any way. It's just a lot of governments prepare that complete comprehensive report. Because the city is subject to government auditing standards, we are also required to issue an opinion on our consideration of the city's internal control and also on compliance with laws and regulations. Part of our audit, we also performed an agreed-upon procedure on the appropriation limit, the calculation of how much the city can budget from tax revenues. And then finally, we are required to communicate with the governing body, which is what I'm doing today. Areas we emphasized on, those are pretty standard areas that for a lot of our city clients, they end up being areas of higher risk. The first one is risk of management overriding control. This is really a risk that exists in any audit. And all we try to do is to try to mitigate it or reduce it to an acceptable level. We cannot eliminate those risks. And the reason for that is because management are the one responsible for designing and implementing internal controls. They are the one responsible for monitoring it. And if they choose to override it, they probably would be able to do so. So we try to design our audits in a way that incorporate an element of unpredictability, so we don't have to do the same testing and the same procedures year over year. We test journal entries prepared by management. We review estimates prepared by management to make sure that there is no bias. We make sure that we assign experienced individuals to more complex areas. And, of course, just maintaining our professional skepticism in general as we go through the audit. If you have any questions as I go through my presentation, please interrupt me.
Yes, why would staff override?
Oh, we hope that they won't. I'm just saying that they probably would be able to if they choose to.
But what would the reasons be behind that?
There may be an inappropriate reason that maybe that they're trying to hide something or to make something balanced that was not balanced or make something looks like it was reconciled when it wasn't reconciled. Or maybe approve a payment that wasn't supposed to be approved. So all we're saying is that there's really no guarantee just because you have controls in place that they are being followed 100% because, you know, Brett is responsible for the operations, and he may come in one day and say, no, we would process that payment without that approval. I am not aware that Brett does that, but that's what we try to do when we obtain understanding of those controls. We do a walkthrough, so for example, we would examine some transactions and see, are the controls documented? Does it show that if they told us that department heads have to approve an invoice before it gets paid, does the department head signature is on the invoice, those types of things. Internal controls are never 100% proof. They do fail. They fail if there is collusion. And they fail if management decide to override them. Of course, if we have suspicion that management override controls and also is not forthcoming about letting us know about situations where controls were overridden, that's a whole another issue if we have concerns about management integrity or management truthfulness with us. We don't really have any of those concerns. So
if you did have any of those concerns, would you let council know?
So if we become aware of any fraud or illegal acts, mm-hmm. regardless of the dollar amount, we are required to report those.
Report to who, though?
To report to the council.
If we
feel that the council is somewhat involved, we have to really weigh our options. We have to talk with our legal counsel first, and then we have, you know, We report to the states. We have ability to be able to report to the states. So luckily, we never really had to do that. But obviously, we would have to weigh our options at that time. Again, we normally do not continue with audits that we feel that this is the situation. Professional standards normally would recommend for us to resign if we feel that, before we even complete the audit, if we feel that there is just no one to talk to.
Okay. So are you saying, I mean, just to clarify, so is it true that when auditors do resign from auditing, it's because something they found that they could no longer, in good faith, continue?
It can be one of the reasons. We do rely on management representations to us. So mm-hmm. if we have reasons to believe that management is not honest with us, that would be a good reason to resign, because it makes the audit very risky, that any statement that management tells would obviously, we won't be able to put any reliance on it, and that just makes the audit very risky. So,
okay. Thank you.
If that was the case, I would not be standing here. So I just want to clarify that. Another area of higher risk in general are revenues. Again, the assumption is organizations tend to like to have more revenues, so they're always motivated to overstate revenues compared to expenditures. We do a lot of confirmations with third parties, so we communicate with the county directly to ask them to confirm to us how much all revenues, property taxes, and all other types of revenues that were paid to the city. We are able to go to the state website and pull up the sales tax information and reconcile that to the city's records. We do some testing on any kind of building permits and license and those types of revenues. We do a lot of analytical procedures also to make sure that revenue amounts look reasonable. And then finally, the pension and OPEB. Just the dollar amount is usually significant and the accounting is complex. So we consider this to be an area of focus for us. We communicate directly with CalPERS and CalPERS auditors. We obtain reports from them on how much money the city have invested with CalPERS. We look at the actuarial studies that CalPERS prepare. We review entries prepared by the city to record the activities in the pension plan. I believe that's obviously for OPEB. We do the same pretty much. We obtain an actuarial study. We evaluate the assumptions and so on. So those were the main areas that are focused. However, we go through the city's accounting records, and every account there, we perform some kind of procedures on it. It either can be testing it or confirming it or even just comparing it to last year and investigate if there was any unusual fluctuation or anything of that.
So just really quickly, this list you've gone over, this would be a standard slide you would present to any city to visit. And so this would necessarily outline things that have gone on here, just saying this is why audits exist, because there's risks in the world.
Every now and then, there would be certain areas that are specific to a client, that it is a risk area just for that client. But those specific areas are pretty common in most of our cities. City governments, in general, their operating environments are very similar. So you would expect that, for the most part, the risk areas would be similar as well. In terms of the auditor's report, so we have issued an unmodified opinion with a going concern paragraph. So what that means, an unmodified opinion, that's the good part of it. That means that we agree with the numbers, that we believe that the financial statements are fairly stated, and that all disclosures are properly reflected, that all accounting policies have been consistently applied, and all estimates are reasonable. Going concern means that even though we believe that the numbers are accurate, we don't necessarily like the numbers very much. They reflect not a very healthy financial condition of the city. I will talk more about that. We saw some improvements, definitely, and we think the city seems to be heading in the right direction, but as you're probably aware, there is still a significant deficit. So we can only look for 1 year. So 1 year from the date of our report, that's how far we look. And obviously, with a big deficit, we have to be giving that going concern opinion. So if I were to summarize for you some of the numbers in your financial statements, this is the composition of your assets over the last 3 years. And you will see that for the most part, everything was fairly consistent. You have an increase in cash and investments. There was an increase in revenues over expenses this year. And part of it has to do also with some write-offs of some advances from before. So when you write them off, they normally come in as, they show in as revenues. And on slide number 11 is a composition of your liabilities. And again, the liabilities are fairly consistent. Your pension and OPEB went down slightly. You had a new lease, so your long-term debt had increased slightly, but for the most part, everything is fairly consistent. This is the composition of your equity, your assets minus your liabilities. And the reason we provide you this breakdown is what we want to show you is that even though your equity in total is positive, it is not all in a spendable form and cannot all be spent at your discretion. So you have about $56 million that are not really in a spendable form and most likely would never become in a spendable form. Those are the amounts that the city invested in infrastructure and streets and roads and things of that nature. So unless you're able to sell those, these amounts should not really be assumed that they would ever be available. Then you have the restricted amounts, and those amounts are legally restricted, either by, for example, your local transportation money or gas tax money or grants or if you have bonds or anything of that nature. So they are legally restricted for a specified purpose, and the city council has no ability to change that. And then the unrestricted amount is the amount that is under your control, and you can see that this is a deficit, $10.7 million. I also don't want to alarm you with that deficit, but at the same time, I don't want to water it down either. But deficits, when we look at the overall city, this is really just looking at all funds together, so not just one fund. Deficits are common in local governments, and the main reasons for them are the pension and OPEB liabilities, the unfunded portions of the pension and OPEB liabilities. So even though I was just in a council presentation yesterday, and it's a very wealthy town up north, but they too have an unrestricted amount in their unrestricted deficit in their net position due to that unfunded pension and OPEB liability. In your situation, it is not just that. You do have deficit in your general fund. So obviously that's a concern. But I'm just saying if you just look at those numbers by themselves, I would say 50% of our clients probably have a deficit unrestricted net position. Yes, ma'am.
Can you explain to us exactly what is the restricted funds and why we're not supposed to be moving them around?
Well, I mean, restricted funds, you get them for a reason. So when you get gas tax money from the state is telling you this is money that can only be used for street work. It is illegal to take it, for example, and pay police officer salaries using gas tax money. So that's the reason why we say they're restricted, because there's a law that restricts them. When you get grants from a granting agency, if you get a grant for housing, for example, you can't take the money and use it to build a new recreation facility. The money was for the purpose of housing and has to be used for that purpose. So that's what legal restriction means, meaning that the money's coming with strings attached to it from an outside party.
And what are the consequences of not keeping it restricted?
Well, so keeping it restricted, you're not really keeping it somewhere by itself. The city really just have one bank account, mm-hmm. put all the money in that bank account. It is how you allocate them in your accounting records. So you have a pot and you're saying this is the restricted pot. So when we spend on that program, we take it out of this pot. When we collect from that program, we put it into this pot. So sometimes if you're not keeping good track, they kind of get mixed, and you don't realize that maybe you did spend some of those restricted resources. That can be consequences. The granting agencies or the funding source can suspend your funding, can ask you to pay the money back, can take you into litigation, or they may not do anything. I think Brett can speak more to that, because there are some situations where we feel there were non-compliance in the past, and the city is still trying to work some of them. There were some that were worked out this year with Caltrans, for example, where the city negotiated a repayment plan on some money that Caltrans believed they were not spent in the right purpose or for the right purpose. So those can be some of the consequences. But it's just hard for me to predict every funding agency. It is really up to them how they operate
it. Okay, thank you.
All I can say is that most funding agencies, they share the same objective. They want you, they're giving you money for a reason. They want you to accomplish certain things, and that's really their main goal. So they're always willing to work with you to get you back on track and hopefully accomplishing those goals. Again, like I mentioned, this year was obviously a better year compared to the past in terms of revenues over expenses. The city had additional revenues that came in, and there were also additional work that was done using transportation funds. So that was also additional expenditures. But the overall results were positive for the general fund and for some of the other funds as well. That does not take you out of the deficit situation, but it's definitely looks like a step in the right direction.
I'll chime in just quickly right here. This large growth there in 2019, a lot of that is money that we collected in 2019, but used for our street projects when the temperatures dropped in the fall now for all the downtown work and the other stuff we're doing. So that's why there's such an excess that it came in, but it wasn't expended until this year, and that's called encumbrance when you pull it out and have it set aside for that next year's project.
I thought it was Measure O.
Well, I mean, part of it is Measure O, but it's also this year the general fund spent $2.7 million in capital expenditures. Okay. And part of that was reimbursed by the local transportation fund. But definitely Measure O is one of the reasons why you have more revenues this year to cover those expenditures.
Thank you.
One of the things that we always like to provide to the council is the net cost of service to tax revenue. The objective of those comparison is to show you how much does it cost to run city services and how self-sustaining they are. So the net cost of service is the cost of running city departments minus any revenues that those departments are able to bring on their own. So that can be either service to charges for their services, or fees, or penalties, or grants that they go out and get on their own. And the idea is to see how much has to be covered by tax revenues, and whether your tax revenues are sufficient to cover that or not. And you can see that you've actually always had more tax revenues than your net cost of service. And that's no different. This year is actually quite more, where your tax revenues is almost $5 million and your net cost of service is $3.5 million. I do want to caution you about those numbers are just for you to make what you want to make from them. For example, this is full accrual basis, so they do not include $2.7 million of capital expenditures that the general fund has incurred, because under the full accrual basis, we would recognize that as an asset and spread it over a period of time. So, but those are the numbers in your financial statements.
The new roundabout would be part of that. So the roundabout expenses and development all under this.
If we were to just focus on your general fund, what we normally do is we look at your unrestricted fund balance and compare it to your annual expenditures. So this is where our concerns are. we obviously do not want to see a deficit unrestricted in the general fund. So that's a very different type of deficit than what we were looking at before, because that is looking at short term. The general fund is not really capturing your long-term pension liability and your long-term assets. It's really only looking at the current things that will happen in the next year or so. And that, you want this to be positive. Yes, you are climbing back. You're heading in the right direction. It is still a significant deficit. Normally, when this number is positive, we tell our clients, well, this is how many months you can continue to pay your bills using your existing fund balance if your revenue sources stop coming in. For the city of Lindsay, obviously, if your revenue sources stop coming in, which is very unlikely, obviously, that a situation like this would happen, you really won't be able to pay bills at all. And that's the reason why the city is getting a going concern, is because of that deficit in the general fund, mainly. Some of the important liabilities that the city have is your pension liability. As of right now, the pension liability reported on your financial statement is $8,840,661. That's the number in the middle. And the reason why I'm giving you two other numbers is because this number is really just a giant estimate that is done by CalPERS. And one of the most significant factor or assumptions that CalPERS use is what we call discount rate. And that rate is normally also the rate that they say what they think they're going to earn on their investments, and that's what they use to discount your liability to the present value. This rate, if it goes up by 1%, your liability goes down from 8.8 million to 5 million. And if this rate goes down by 1%, your liability shoots up from 8.8 to 13.4. So I don't know where they're going to go, but I can tell you for sure it's not going to go up. So it's maybe they would stay where they're at, or it would go down. I don't want to predict. I really don't know. But I know that no one is talking about raising it. So what that really means to the city is probably additional contributions in the future. But again, the market's been doing well, and those things can will affect you in the future, hopefully positively. I'm sure stay abreast on that. You know, CalPERS are trying to de-risk their investments, so they're trying to, which means that the discount rate is going to go lower and lower, and that usually means more and more contributions from the city. So it's one of the big concerns that we have for a lot of cities is whether they will continue to be able to meet those future contributions in the future. Obviously, as cities are now setting up trust funds or site funds that they're putting money aside to, in anticipation for those future contributions. That makes it very difficult for Lindsay when you have a big deficit, if you don't really have money to put aside to prepare for that. So that, again, one of the concerns about financial condition for those cities. The city also offered retiree medical benefits, and this is the liability as of the end of the fiscal year. This is an estimate, and we want to show you if the discount rate also if it goes up or down. And when I say those liabilities, this is the portion that is unfunded. So for pension, you're putting money with CalPERS, so you have some assets invested, but the liability is bigger, and you have an unfunded portion. With OPEB, you don't really have any assets invested. And that's the reason why you're using such a low discount rate, is because there is no assumption that you're actually be investing money and earning returns to offset those liabilities in the future. Also, another unknown when we calculate those retiree medical benefits is how much it's going to cost to provide medical benefits in the future. So those rates, they can go up, they can go down. So here it shows you if the rates go up by 1% or down by 1% compared to the assumption that the actuary is using, what the numbers would look like.
So the assumption you're using is the middle one?
Is the middle one,
on all cases. And was that what it was like last year?
I would say it's close. Those are normally actuaries that the city hire that they set those assumptions. normally based on what they see in the industry, what, you know, their obviously experience and knowledge. Yes, if the assumptions have significantly changed, we as auditors, we would have to obtain an understanding as to why the actuary believed the assumptions should change. I think those are fairly consistent in what we see in most places. And honestly, I think most actuaries just follow the footsteps of CalPERS. CalPERS kind of set their own assumptions on the big actuarial studies, and most actuaries in California, they kind of follow in the footsteps of that. But I would say I don't believe that they have changed significantly. And remember also that you only get an actuarial study on those retiree medical benefits every 2 years. So for 2 years, you're definitely using the same assumptions, and then every 2 years you will get a new one that may or may not have different assumptions. Okay. All right. I think other than that, just going through some of the required communications. So on this slide, on the left side, are our responsibility as your independent auditors. On the right side is management responsibility. So our responsibility is mainly to give an opinion on the city's financial statements, whether they're fairly stated or not. Part of doing that, we are responsible for evaluating the internal control over financial reporting, for evaluating the city's compliance with laws and regulations, for ensuring that the financial statements are clear and transparent, and finally for communicating with the city council. Management have a lot of responsibilities in this process. So having an independent audit done does not relieve management from its responsibility that those financial statements are still the responsibility of management. Management is still responsible to ensure that they are accurate and complete. Management is also responsible for establishing and maintaining internal controls over financial reporting, for making all financial records available to us. And by that, we mean that the burden of proof is on management. Management is telling us we have this much in cash, they need to prove that to us. We don't have to investigate ourselves. They have to prove to us that, yes, we have this much. And management understand that. Also, management is responsible for establishing and maintaining controls to prevent and detect fraud, inform us of all known and suspected fraud. Management is responsible for compliance with laws and regulations, so they can't look for us to tell them what are the laws and regulations that are out there. It is really their responsibility to ensure that they are aware of those. And then finally, management is responsible for coming up with corrective action when there are audit findings. In terms of independence, so we look at independence from a variety of aspects. For example, we compile the financial statements on behalf of the city. That is a service that can impair our independence if we do not put safeguards in place. So, for example, we have to have an independent reviewer review those financial statements, somebody who had nothing to do with the audit. We also have to evaluate management skill, knowledge, and experience and make sure that they can oversee our service, they can review those financials, they can understand them and take responsibility for them. It does not mean that they have to be able to prepare them themselves, but we have to get to a point where we feel okay, management understand what's in those financial statements. They can ask us questions. They can identify errors and problems when they look at them. We also make sure that we are independent in appearance. So we are always careful about not developing relationships with city staff. If we were to ever go out with city staff, it would have to be one official time where maybe we'll go out to lunch or something. But as a policy, we do not just go out with clients. Not that we would be discussing anything wrong. We just do not want that appearance that maybe we are just too close, that we're not independent. So we try to watch for that as well. Every year there are new accounting standards that we consider. This year there were two new accounting standards. We discussed them with management, and it was determined that they were not applicable to the city, meaning that the city did not have those types of transactions that these standards are dealing with. For example, number 83 is what we refer to as asset retirement obligation. This is normally if you have a nuclear power plant or if you have, for example, like wind turbines. And you have an obligation to dismantle those wind turbines after 20 years or so. Then you need to start accounting for that liability now. Same like if you have plans to sell your nuclear power plant, you can't just close it down and build a housing project on it. So you have to clean it up, you have to monitor it, so those would be dealing with those types of liabilities. So that's why I said it was not applicable to the city, because the city just does not have those types of transactions. In terms of management judgment and accounting estimates, so some of the numbers in your financial statements are not actual numbers, they're estimated, and that is acceptable as long as there is a reasonable basis behind those estimates. So, for example, your pension liability is an estimated number. Your retiree medical benefit liability is an estimated number. When you purchase a police vehicle or any kind of asset, you estimate how long this asset is going to live, and then you spread that cost over that estimated life, and that what depreciation is. So all of these numbers are estimated numbers in your financial statements. Of course, we review the basis behind those estimates and make sure that there are no bias in those basis.